The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you on a Thursday morning, Thursday, February 12th right now. It's about 20 degrees outside of Pittsfield at the moment, kind of waking up to a few flurries out there and a cloudy morning. Glad to have you here on the show. You're listening to us on 89.7 WTBR-FM in Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge, watching us on the channel 1301 Access Pittsfield, and on the PCTV Select app, and many ways to watch and listen to the show. We're glad you're here this morning. I'm going to be talking about some business and housing this morning, a little of both, I think, to talk to the folks from Teton Management this morning about the construction of Allendale Pines North. It's a new mobile home community project happening. You may have heard of it in the north. I guess it would be over in the Cheshire Road area of Pittsfield. And we're going to be talking to Val Whaling and Sarah Pirro from that company to talk about the progress on that project and how it's coming along, and why it's needed, the kinds of things that our community needs for housing and home ownership fits the bill on a lot of that. So we're going to talk to them about that project. First, let's get to the weather forecast. We've got a couple of days coming up here, and the National Weather Service will tell us all about it. Here it goes. Berkshire
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Scattered flurries this morning. Cold with highs in the upper 20s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then clearing. Cold with lows around 7 above. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 4 below. Friday, sunny, cold with highs around 30. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 4 below in the morning. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right. Well, it sounds like we got out of the deep freeze at least. We got some days now that are in the upper 20s and lower 30s, which I think we can tolerate a little better than what we had. I did hear that we got through a 10-day stretch where, at least maybe more than 10 days, where our high temperatures did not get above freezing. So they do call that a deep freeze, apparently. The opposite of a heat wave. but we got through it, and who knows? We may get another one, but maybe that's the worst that we're going to see for the cold weather for the winter. I suspect, though, that we're not done with the snow just yet. All right. Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And joining me here in the studio now are Val Whaling and Sarah Pirro. Good morning to both of you. How are you?
Good morning, Sean.
Oh, pull your mic here a little closer there, Val.
Good morning.
There you go. These mics like to be really close.
So how's that?
That's perfect. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
So thanks for being here this morning. To talk to us about Allendale Pines and also about the sort of state of housing and housing needs in Pittsfield and, you know, frankly, around the state and around the country. It's an issue that we've explored here a lot on Morning Drive. We've had the Secretary of Housing here on the program a couple times, and it's just it's an overwhelming need. There's very, very it can be a very expensive endeavor these days to have a home, to have a place to live, and so we're looking for solutions all over the place to make that happen. So let's talk first about both of you. How did you get involved with this company, with Teton Management, and tell us a little bit about what the company does?
Well, awesome. Thank you, Sean. Good morning, Sarah. And I think that we, you know, kind of kick off this time with you with talking about George Whaling, who's my brother and president and owner of Teton Management Corp. Mm-hmm. And 20 plus years ago, he and then we as a team cut our teeth in the apartment industry.
Okay.
And George acquired with investors and an awesome team commercial properties and residential properties, including apartments in downtown Pittsfield, which we operated and owned for many years and was very successful. We loved it. We built awesome relationships with the city and had a lot of support. One of, I think George would agree, maybe his pride and joy in terms of apartment buildings would have been the Greystone building. And we had a small office in the first floor of the Greystone building.
And that's the one right on the corner of North Street and Maplewood, right?
Dotties.
Currently has Dotties,
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful apartments in the four floors above that, in that building.
And so North Street and downtown Pittsfield has always been kind of, I guess you would call it a mixed-use area, right? Where we think of it as a retail strip, a lot of businesses, a lot of, you know, traditional downtown type of stuff. But it's also a very residential area in a lot of ways. And a building like that would have exemplified that.
Exactly. So we worked hard. We worked closely with Downtown Pittsfield, Inc. We tried to do projects of clean up North Street, and we were pretty involved in those projects and loved our time there, and it was successful. And at the time, we started looking at the possibility of other sectors of real estate. And I'll just take the lead on this, that George sent Val to Mobile Home University.
There's a Mobile Home University.
Indeed there is,
all right.
Sean.
Well, tell me about that.
It's like a mini college. It's 3 days, and I sat in the front row and could not get enough. I loved it. So I kept texting George, this is an interesting space of real estate. I think this could be a home run for us. In any event, that's the short story. But that's we're very intrigued by the mobile home space. It's a completely different model than apartments, obviously. Our current customers, our consumers, own their own homes, right? So that's the huge difference between apartment renters and mobile home.
It sounds like it occupies a space somewhere between renting and owning a house, right? And it is a house in a lot of ways, but it's in a different way, right? I mean, you think of it as a mobile home park. So it's a group of homes in an area that's structured for that. That's a little different than sort of a standalone house, but it isn't an apartment. Right.
And exactly.
And so there aren't too many of those things like that anymore around. And I think of the history of mobile homes, it seemed like it was something that came out of the World War II era, you know, right after that, the baby boom and that need at that time for a lot more housing. And it sounds a lot like it's echoing today. We're in that same space where we need a lot more housing for people and a lot more affordable housing.
And it creates a sense of pride of ownership for our residents. They have something that they can paint the walls in, and they can, you know, do small, add a deck or do little things that kind of make their home their own and how they want to see their lives.
Yeah. And Val, you and I were talking just before we went on air how there might still be some impressions in people's minds from those early eras of that it was a trailer. And it really isn't a trailer anymore because nobody's trailing these things anywhere, right?
Right.
And so it's more of a, you would call it, what was the word you used?
It's a manufactured home,
okay,
right? It is truly manufactured in these efficient, amazing facilities that we buy our homes from in the Midwest and Pennsylvania.
So they're not built on site then, right?
They're not built on site, which is why it's very efficient. They're built in a plant. They literally have our sheetrock walls going down a line. And yes, it's super efficient, which is why it ends up being, I'm fine to use the word affordable housing. We like to use attainable as well. But the reason that these homes are affordable is because they're built efficiently and it's mass production and they arrive, they're delivered. You've seen them coming down the hall, the highway.
usually in halves, right?
Sections,
right?
Yep. So that's where we come up with the word affordable housing. And I mean, I'll let you chime in on the need we feel in Pittsfield.
Yeah, please. Go ahead, Sarah.
So our main clientele and how we help people is to compare it to your 3-bed, 2-bath rental in Pittsfield. Mm. But that is not the only buyer pool we're pulling from. It's really people downsizing. It's one floor living. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have your washer and dryer, your 2 bathrooms. They have stand up showers. They have bathtubs. So we're really, it could be a first time home buyer. It could be somebody looking to downsize. It can be, it's really where we try to educate people are people that are renting because they've never purchased a home before, so this is a totally new space for them, and really just educating them on how the costs are reasonable, and you're not going to see a huge change in your monthly payments if taxes increase or your water sewer bill increases. You're not going to see a huge jump in your monthly payment. It's pretty fixed over the term of your loan, so...
Yeah, so I could see where that would be an attractive option for a lot of people in different situations, as you mentioned a couple of them. You know, people downsizing where maybe they have too much house. They have already gone through, you know, raising the kids, and they needed all those rooms and all that space, and now they're empty nest or whatever, and maybe physically, you know, 2 stories is no longer really manageable, right? And so a one story, one floor might make a lot more sense, and probably, you know, more affordable in some ways also.
Even mowing a small lot is better than mowing maybe 1 acre or having a, you know, large driveway to plow. Right. It's going to cut down on those things. You know exactly what you're getting into. You do have privacy, but yet it's not too much to manage.
It's still a neighborhood, right?
It's still a neighborhood for sure. And one of the things that does make it affordable for our customers is the fact that we as community owners deliver all of the infrastructure, right? So we build the foundations, we bring in water, sewer, the power is there. We literally, it's turnkey for our customers after they've gone through the loan process, which we can chat about. We truly feel at Teton that we partner with our prospects from day one to the closing table. We do really promote home ownership and pride of home ownership. But yeah, I mean, Allendale Pines North is 22 new sites we're bringing in to Cheshire Road, which has a separate entrance, 395 Cheshire Road.
And so there's already an Allendale Pines there on Cheshire Road. And how many units are there currently in that particular community?
When we bought Allendale Pines, it was 55 homes.
Okay.
We, in the past 3 years, have expanded that community by 10 sites. We brought in 9 new double-wide homes, 3-bed, 2-bath. In that same section of land, it's just a different driveway off to the right.
So there was already room there to expand that particular area?
Yes. Yep. Yep. And city officials and the building department and everyone on this side of things has been amazing to work with in terms of COs and all the permits and everything needed, our utility providers.
Let's talk about that just for a moment, too, because, again, anytime you're building some kind of new project, there's going to be a lot of details that go into it, right? And all that infrastructure that you talked about, all the planning process and things like that. How long has this expansion been sort of in the works? And give us some details about how, you know, the different steps you have to go through to make something like this possible.
So we started the process back in 2022 with going to the zoning board. It's actually one piece of property with some conservation or wetlands in between. So when we're said and done, it's all going to run as one property. We are kind of using Allendale Pines South and Allendale Pines North as to distinguish internally and for our buyers. But
are the properties themselves contiguous? Are they connected?
It's one tax parcel. Okay. So we went in front of the zoning board to kind of get the approval to move forward with adding additional sites in this sector of the property. And at first, we kind of got the approval, but worked to you know, budgets and what the construction costs are going to be. So it did take about 2 years to finally say we're ready to move forward and
and the other
work with lenders to get the capital to.
Yeah. The other infrastructure that was needed there, you mentioned, you know, city water and sewer, that's all connected and part of that. Was that a big upgrade to be able to have to lay that infrastructure in? And how long did that take?
So we broke ground back in October of 2025, and that's the biggest part is getting water, sewer, electric. I mean, working with Eversource, and it's easy to do things internally, but to work with other vendors that, you know, they have emergencies and they are not as eager, as we call it, to get things rolling. But
well, we hear a lot of stories about that, too, and how difficult it is now to find the trades folks, right, who can do this on a schedule because, A, they're just straight out. They're already, you know, spread too thin. There's not enough of them. As we know, we talk to folks at Taconic High School all the time about, you know, the need for vocational education and why, you know, more and more people are needed in the trades. And that's another reason, because if you don't have enough, you're trying to build a project like this and either the costs, right, go way up or you get delays and you can't get things done quickly enough. And have you experienced any of that going on? And, you know, if you started in October of 25, we got a cold winter going on here. Did that affect any of this?
For sure. The cold has definitely affected us. I mean, we're pushing through the cold and we're not afraid of the winter as we work in New York and we have 7 parks that we're managing there where we're bringing in new homes. So we're really relying on these relationships that we have built over the last 20 years to be able to work with the vendors. We're bringing in vendors from New York. We are learning a little bit about the permitting and approval process in Massachusetts because it is a little bit different than New York. And
how so? How different is it? What kinds of things do you have to deal with in Mass that you don't have to in New York?
Well, one of the main things that I can think of right off the top of my head is that in New York, we're connecting our sewer. It can be anybody. Our set crew connects the water sewer because it's already stubbed at the pad. But in Massachusetts, you need a licensed plumber to do it. So that's just like one of the little things, which, I mean, these are challenges that come up all the time. So we are just pushing through. I mean, we're working with vendors in New York and in Massachusetts to just get what we need. And sometimes our New York vendors don't have licenses in Mass. So we're just working with people, making phone calls, using our connections to overcome any challenge that has been set forth, especially with the cold.
Yeah. It's a challenge, right? Being in this business in a lot of ways. And, you know, again, it's easy to talk about affordable housing until the rubber hits the road. And then, you know, things have to get done real, you know, hard physical things have to get done to make things work. We're speaking with Val Whaling and Sarah Pirro. They're from Teton Management. We're talking about the ongoing construction and preparation of Allendale Pines North, which is a new mobile home community that's expanding, I guess is what you would say, in the Cheshire Road area of Pittsfield. And, you know, again, those have implications both on the housing front and on the business front. So it's interesting to talk to you both about that. So lots of site work. You had to clear some land for this, right? So where are we with the project right now? Is it you're slated for an opening sometime in 26, or I would imagine there's going to be a lot of activity with the houses themselves coming in, right?
Yeah, so Allendale Pines North, we're bringing in a total of 22 new homes. They are all 3-bed, 2-bath, double wides. And at this point, most of the ground down work is complete in terms of infrastructure and foundation work. We, of course, will do finish work, which includes driveways and sidewalks. But at this point, we are bringing in our homes in phases, Sean, just to be smart on the business side of things. So we have 6 homes that have been delivered, that have been assembled. That's a whole other vendor. That's a whole process that's pretty interesting to see in manufactured housing. We have a set crew that works, has an amazing reputation, has done a lot of work with us, as Sarah indicated, in New York State. So they came on to Mass, and it's essentially marrying the two single wide homes together to create this beautiful double wide. It's 1,260 square feet, three bed, two bath. And it's a beautiful one level double wide. And
I think of it roughly as the same size as a ranch house, almost, right?
Exactly. Yeah. One level. And we are being smart about the market and the time of year and the weather. So at the moment, we have six homes that are not quite show ready, as we like to say, at this point. We are aiming, hopefully, for a more formal introduction of these six homes to the community with a ribbon-cutting ceremony, which we would love your presence at, maybe mid-March timing, weather-dependent. It doesn't mean that we haven't started marketing and promoting these homes in our what we call construction phase. So we have an awesome team, Sean, one of which on our marketing and sales side is Chris Vecchia, and he had successful showings over the weekend in what we're referring to as our construction phase, right? So that our buyers, potential buyers, are know what to expect and that they're going to be walking up a set of stairs, which may not be permanent, but they get the feel of these three different models, which are on site at the moment.
What has the interest and the demand been like in this early phase? Because, again, we hear about how much demand there is for reasonably priced homes. And, you know, obviously the apartment market is booming as well. And the rents are, you know, very high from what we hear. So has there been a lot of interest in this initially?
We're pretty excited.
Yeah.
We did a rollout of our marketing campaigns on these three units and have 90 plus interested parties. And out of...
So wait a minute. You have 90 potential interested parties for 22
correct
homes that will be built. So that shows you the demand right there, right?
It's very exciting.
Wow.
Yeah. And out of 90 interested parties, right, that number goes to about 45 at this point in terms of prospects that are seriously considering going to seek financing and what does that all look like for them. And after this weekend of some very nice showings that Chris conducted, as of yesterday, I think we have 18 solid leads out of that initial list, that initial marketing campaign.
So give me an idea then of how it works when someone owns a mobile home in a community like this, because they're not owning the land, right? Because the land is part of the park. And they don't own, you know, the foundation, right? That's part of it also. It's all that stuff is, but what they are buying is the house itself, the manufactured home. And that is an asset that they will pay a mortgage on. And potentially if they wanted to sell it, they have the opportunity to do so. So it just, you know, give us an idea of how that works versus someone who just owns an outright their house and their land and things like that. How is that different?
So the lot rent is $550 per month, and that includes your property taxes. The park pays the property taxes, water, sewer, trash removal, and we maintain the roads. And so you'd be paying $550 to Allendale Pines, the park, and then you finance the mobile home. And we work with lenders that specialize in financing mobile homes to get people in and paying.
It's a little bit of a different loan, Sean, just to chime in with you, Sarah. It is called a chattel loan, but it's because we own the land. Our consumers, our buyers don't own the land. So they're essentially leasing the land with that lot rent that Sarah mentioned. And then they're responsible for they're seeking a mortgage for the home itself.
But when we say less than renting, we're including the loan payment on the home and the lot rent together. So that's going to be comparable to your three-bed rental in Pittsfield, but you're building equity on the home.
Mm-hmm. So it almost seems like, you know, the other fees that go to the park are almost like, I think of it as a HOA, as a condo fee or something like that.
That's
right?
A great analogy.
Where you're sort of taking care of the things that everyone needs to have.
Yes.
You know, you have to have trash picked up. You have to have roads plowed, especially today. You know, places like that, the sort of infrastructure that makes that possible. And then everything else sort of inside the box of the house is your responsibility. Right. I assume all the utilities and things people would pay all those for themselves.
And I compare it to buying a car because you do get a title from the DMV. That's what your proof of ownership is. It's not a deed. Mm-hmm. It's a title. And you're just paying for where you park it. Mm-hmm. So we have them all set up and parked on our land. But you essentially own the home and... Mm-hmm. Pay for where it's staying.
Yeah.
So we do continue to use the word affordable and or attainable housing in that it is that pride of ownership because our customers are pulling up to their home. There are no shared walls. Mm-hmm. We provide a two-car driveway. We provide two handsome sets of stairs and the whole house is all move-in ready with all the CO and permitting completed, and it's beautiful. So they own that home. It's their space. It's their driveway. It is a small lot, but it is a private lot, and it's their yard. We have rules and regulations. We try to maintain a handsome-looking community. Mm. We allow two pets per home. We don't allow fences. We're trying to keep our lots really clean. We are delivering, included in the purchase price of this home, a very sharp-looking 8x10 Amish shed, which will be placed on a foundation on the back left corner of each lot. Mm-hmm. And that's where, of course, we would like to see bikes and lawnmower and snowblowers. Mm-hmm. As Sarah mentioned, we do all
because you have to put those somewhere.
There's
no garages here, right? So that's not part. And if someone were to buy this, you wouldn't be able to construct a garage. That's not within the plot, right?
So correct.
There's enough room for two cars, but that's what the shed is for, is to the other outside stuff that people will have no matter what.
Yep. Especially backing up to the bike trail. You're going to want to have your rollerblades or your bike or your... gear to use that and access that.
Yeah, in a way, that's a great location there, too, for that, because, the Ashuwiltecook Trail is just a gem for our city and for Northern Berkshire area, continuing to expand down into Southern Berkshire County. But just having that right there and available, just a wonderful asset.
We're so excited about that. Mm-hmm. Sean, there's two or three houses in Allendale Pines North in the back section on the corner that you look out a slider in our really slick looking kitchen and it's all glass, of course. So a huge window, huge view, and you see the fence to the trail and trees and woods. I mean, it's stunning. Mm-hmm. It's very private looking. We're very excited about I'm still working on the pronunciation.
Ashuwiltecook.
Sean.
Yes, I know.
Well done.
Well, we spent a lot of time on that when my kids were younger. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah, it is.
So, again, just to remind people, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Val Whaling and Sarah Pirro. They're from Teton Management. They're the company behind the expansion of Allendale Pines North mobile home community. And we're talking about sort of the impact of that construction and where we're at with that in terms of our housing situation here in Berkshire County and how it is one of those pieces of the puzzle, if you will. There's lots of different things we can talk about when it comes to housing. We've certainly talked about, everything from seasonal rentals and things like that on this program to, having the housing secretary talk about the challenges that and homelessness, certainly has come up many, many times here on this show and the city council, I think just on Tuesday night. decided on a new plan for getting, you know, moving the camping ban off and making it more of a public health issue. So, you know, all these things play a part. There's no one easy solution to anything. There's just lots of different pieces that come together and somehow come to a solution on some of the things we don't ever completely solve. You got to keep working on them. And that's what we're talking about here today. We're actually coming up to the top of the hour. So we're going to take our top of the hour break, and we're going to talk more with the folks from Teton Management here in just a moment about Allendale Pines North and about housing and business, all kinds of different stuff. This is Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. We'll return right after our short break. Take care, and we'll see you in a moment.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Scattered flurries this morning.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
WTBR-FM is listener-supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Hi, I'm Leslie Hertzberg, Executive Director of the Berkshire County Historical Society. Spring through fall, we look forward to welcoming you for tours of Herman Melville's historic home, Arrowhead. We offer a wide variety of in-person and virtual programs throughout the year. Visit berkshirehistory.org for information on programs and to schedule a tour.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
If you thought you knew your music, think again. It's time has come to experience a full spectrum of music. You're locked into the Majestic Michelle Radio Show. I'm Michelle, and every Tuesday from 10 to noon, we're bridging the gap between genres, generations. We'll give you the smooth, iconic moves of Elvis, the raw power of Shinedown to Alabama and everything in between. Please listen to 89.7 WTBR-FM every Tuesday from 10 to noon.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to the program. It's 8:03 now on Thursday morning, February 12th, and this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. We'll get right back to our conversation with the folks from Teton Management in just a moment. First, let's get to our weather forecast one more time, see what the National Weather Service has in store for us today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Scattered flurries this morning. Cold with highs in the upper 20s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then clearing. Cold with lows around 7 above. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 4 below. Friday, sunny, cold with highs around 30. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 4 below in the morning. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, and I am seeing some of those flurries out the window right now as we're live on the air. So it's kind of like a little snow globe out there. Nothing that's going to build up too much, though. You probably see about an inch or so on the ground this morning if you haven't gotten outside just yet. Not too bad, though. But you know, I guess they say plowable, right, at about 2 inches. That's when you got to get out there and do something about it. Other than that, maybe you just let it blow around a little bit. All right. Morning Drive returns here on 89.7 WTBR-FM and 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, and Stockbridge. And my guests again this morning are Val Whaling and Sarah Pirro. They're from Teton Management. And we're talking about Allendale Pines North Mobile Home Community. That's the... there's a south one already, and it was just called Allendale Pines before, and now it's going to be south, right? You're familiar with it. How old is that particular community, and when did Teton Management get involved with that property? Because it wasn't originally your company that owned it, right?
Originally, we were managing it for as a third-party manager, and about 4 or 5 years ago, we moved forward with purchasing the park, and we've been managing it since. We've been involved with it longer than we've owned it, but we've owned it for about 4 or 5 years.
And the homes that are there in the current layout, how old are some of those? Have they been there for as long as the park has been there, or do they turn over after a while? Do the same foundations get reused if a house needs to be updated? How does that work?
Well, typically in the industry, Sean, the homes, because of the cost of moving a home, right, and all the expense and investment made to secure that home to the pad, to the foundation, that the homes stay. It's rare that homes would move out.
Yeah.
So we acquire older communities, we're fine with that. Allendale Pines, I think we're going to call Allendale Pines 22 new homes. Eventually, it will all be in Allendale Pines LLC. Right now, for the construction phase and development phase, we are saying Allendale Pines North.
Okay.
But Allendale Pines, we did acquire after experience in managing it. And at the time, it was, as I mentioned, 55 homes. They range in anywhere from 10 to 35 years old.
Okay.
And we bought Allendale Pines after experience in managing and operating communities throughout New York State. So part of our business model is to acquire a community that maybe hasn't been as well run, hasn't had some TLC, it needs on-site, it needs rules and regulations, it needs that upkeep. We're not afraid of that. It does take time. It takes time to turn around a community that has not been maybe as well managed as it could be. So, you know, we have great respect for our current residents of Allendale Pines, and they're looking at all this construction and new pads and new homes going in, and we still are operating Allendale Pines as we would regardless.
What are some of the things that you would have to upgrade with regards to, say, an older community that you moved in and started managing?
Well, with the 10 new homes that we brought in 2021, we actually upgraded all of the water and sewer lines for the existing tenants.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
The entire Allendale Pines South has brand new water and sewer lines, so you're not seeing any disconnections or any issues, line breaks, especially with these cold temperatures. That is something that pops up in mobile home communities.
Right. And I would imagine if you're getting in and saying purchasing an older community, you sort of have to know what you're getting into, right?
Like, for sure.
You know, how was it constructed? What kinds of pipes are in the ground? You know, what kind of, how do the roads look, right? What's the lighting like? All that kind of stuff is, you'd have to kind of do a deep dive, right? And figure that out and know, you know, what you're into to have to go back in and upgrade.
And water sewer is one of the biggest things because, I mean, that's one of the utilities that we're providing included in the lot rent. So being able to tie into Pittsfield, the public water sewer is huge for us because, yes, you have to maintain the lines that are below the homes and underground, but, I mean, we're not running a wastewater treatment plant or a well system, so that's huge.
And is that different than some of the other properties that you're involved with in New York and other places like that, where, or are they places that maybe have septic or something that you have to deal with? Is it better to be on city water?
Oh,
for
absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
One of our other big projects that we're kind of running in tandem is we are installing a brand new state-of-the-art well house at our property in Pittstown, New York. So just about 45 minutes from here, but that is a huge undertaking. And I mean, we're committed to bringing better water quality to our tenants, and that's what we're kind of standing behind.
It must be fun in the office making sure that you don't confuse Pittstown and Pittsfield.
Yeah. Wait,
now, which one are we talking about here?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, our attorney likes to say that we're in Pittsfield, New York, but we're like, this is Massachusetts.
We're quick to correct.
It's amazing the number of times on social media you'll see someone posting something for Pittsfield, Maine.
But it just says,
this thing happened in Pittsfield, and everybody just, you know, throws a fit. And it's like, no, it's not happening here.
Yeah.
It's not even close to here. It's in Maine, people. There's lots of Pittsfields. By the way, I think they are pretty much all named after Pittsfield, Mass, though. I think historically, Pittsfield, Mass is the original. So if there's another Pittsfield somewhere, it was because we existed.
We were first.
Yes. So let's talk about what it takes to purchase a mobile home these days in modern days. Again, you sort of talked about in the first half how it's a sort of a different kind of financing because of the way that someone owns the house, but not the property and not the foundation. And maybe just talk a little bit about what you guys do for educating people on how you go about this. I think of, the people that are coming in here maybe haven't bought a house before at all, or maybe it's been a long time since they bought a house and they don't understand how it works. So how do you teach people how to proceed with this?
I think we can both chime in here, but I would say the one thing that I'm most proud of at Teton is we make sure that our potential buyers are not intimidated by the process. So we literally will have that conversation and walk them through the entire process. We have great relationships with our lenders. As I mentioned, it's a little bit of a different loan, of course, than a traditional single family home, and in that we own the land. So it's a loan that they're purchasing and securing with the fact that they own the home, we own the land. Sarah's an expert in looking at all things and all the documents and super organized on our team in terms of collating and making sure there's a file of X, Y, and Z. We pretty much focus on that down payment and where it's coming from. We have great relationships with several lenders in the business, manufactured loans that we bring them and involve them from the start of that first application once it's been approved.
And yeah, go ahead, Sarah.
Some people are super organized, it's the basic documents that trip others up. Yeah. But
when you say some people are very organized, that implies that some people are not super organized, right?
Yes. And it's all stuff that they can obtain, but they might just not have on file, including their W-2s and any information on their 401k. I mean, we help people with every step. We just need to have that first conversation to figure out where you're at, what you need. We'll make a list of things you need to collect up. We'll get you in contact with the right people. A lot of our lenders can actually help you without even filling out an application. You just tell them, maybe you'll tell them what your total monthly income is, what your credit score looks like, what your other debts look like, and they can quickly analyze that and say, fill out the application. You're going to be looking at X monthly. So that can kind of give you a good base to, that's way over what I can afford, or that's around what I'm paying now. So let's move forward. So it's just taking everything one step at a time. Everybody's situation's different, but even if you've had bad credit history in the past. I mean, we work with people of all credit scores. Mm-hmm. And just, you may not be qualified right now, but at least you have the information to know, you know, this is what I need to do to maybe be available for the next round of homes, too.
Yeah, it is a step, a big step for a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
And that's why it probably can feel intimidating. But to know that it is doable, it is possible, right? That's sort of the message that you have to get out to people when they need to take that step. If you've been renting for a very long time and you know that home ownership of some kind is usually the path to, you know, a better experience in a lot of ways, you know, both on the financial side, you know, stability and things like that. And then also just the situation of being, like you said, no shared walls.
Mm-hmm.
That's a completely different experience from living in an apartment to living in a standalone house.
And for a lot of people, it's the pets. I mean, I feel I see people moving and they're like, I'm looking for a 3-bedroom. I have a pit bull and I have Yorkie and mm-hmm. I need somewhere that we all can go together because these are your family members at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a breed restriction. We do limit it to 2 dogs per household, mm-hmm. but if you have a pit bull and a Yorkie, you're in.
Well, that's really important to people. And actually, we just had John Peralt on from the Berkshire Humane Society a couple weeks ago here on the show. And we were talking about how, you know, people will make decisions based on whether they're going to stay in their house or not stay in their house, or whether they're, you know, ill and they can't, you know, manage things anymore, but they've got the dog or they've got a pet or something. And they will make decisions based on that. So very, very important. You can't ignore how important that is to people.
Right.
Yeah. It's almost part of our interviewing process at Teton. Can I say that? I can't say that. But George Whaling is and his partner are an owner of 3 dogs. So it starts with that, right? So if you're a lab lover and you're trying to get into Allendale, we're great. We're excited.
Nice.
I just wanted to get back a little bit to the financing aspect.
Sure.
And one thing that we do like to promote, Sean, is the time of year. Mm. We see in many cases our potential buyers are intimidated by the down payment.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially for someone who's been renting for a long time and hasn't been able to build up some sort of a fund, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in most cases, our lenders like to see 5 to 10% as a down payment.
Mm-hmm.
And this season that we're in right now, which is tax refund season, we like to promote the fact that you can use your tax refund as part of your down payment to purchase the home.
Hmm.
And then just tagging on to Sarah's comments regarding our lenders, we will invite our lenders to our open houses. We are not allowed to steer in our industry toward certain lenders based on lending practices.
Sure.
But we certainly have great experiences with them, and we will invite them to our open houses and have their brochures available on the counter and just include them from the start with our buyers so that it's not intimidating, essentially. It is doable.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also educating folks on it isn't forever, like house purchases, that the resale of a pre-owned home is also something that you can have in the back of your mind if that's the case. If we're looking at younger folks that don't want to share an apartment, that do have 2 doggies and want to own their own home and hop on the trail with their mountain bike, then sure, you can sell that home in 2 years if you're moving on for another engineering position or and we help with that sale as well because we're very involved as community owners. We like to make sure all residents are approved with our application process just try to make it seamless.
It's important to note, too, that Teton Management is a local company here in Pittsfield. And you have your offices there in the Clock Tower building, right? And so, you know, no absentee landlords here. You're right here in the community. And also, you know, talk about sort of the regulations of what it takes to run a mobile home community, because that's been in the news recently also with another community up in the the Lake Anoda Village, for example, that had just turned over, and the residents, I guess, have decided to purchase that community. That must make for some interesting office talk with you guys. But it kind of goes to the idea of what a responsible owner and manager is for a property like this, right? There are things that you have to do, as you mentioned, to keep things up and working, and a handsome community, I think, is what you mentioned, right? Those are things that everybody wants when they live in a community. So talk about that. What are the state regulations like? What do you have to manage around that, and how do you sort of meet or exceed those?
So it does take a lot to, I mean, when we move people in, we're committing to providing them water and sewer, mm-hmm. trash removal, and plowing of the road. So even right now, we're thinking about our plowing contract for mm-hmm. next year, and we're making sure that the water that we're providing to our tenants is drinkable mm-hmm. and all of those things.
Sure.
That's one of the reasons it's great to be on public water sewer.
And not easy these days either to find someone to plow, as we've found, right? That's been in the news also with the Pittsfield, city of Pittsfield actually trying to find more people during the heavy snowstorms to get out there and plow. And it's been difficult.
And also that somebody who's going to show up on time, yeah. do a good job. We have tenants in other communities that are calling us at 3 a.m. like, I have to be out to work and the roads aren't plowed. So, I mean, just making sure that all of our tenants are taken care of. It's beyond even our scope of work as our regional operations manager, John Hoffman. He's making sure that our tenants that have freeze-ups are taken care of, and we're sending out reminders that check your heat tape. We have a cold snap coming up. Mm. So we're just always trying to communicate with our tenants to provide them the information that they need. You don't have to be super knowledgeable. You don't have to be able to change your own plumbing or anything like that. But even yesterday, I overheard Chris Vecchia, the community manager, on the phone with one of our tenants, just giving him a few vendors, local vendors, that could help him with an issue that he was having in his home.
Yeah.
So
yeah, super important. Let's talk about the floor plans, because that's something where we talked about these manufactured houses on the highway. I can imagine them myself coming into Pittsfield and being set in place in some of the new foundations. But I have a picture in my mind of what that's going to look like inside, but it's probably wrong. So are there differences in terms of what people can order? Are you ordering them and then they're purchasing them? Or are you going to have a variety of different floor plans for people to choose from? How does that work?
Well, at the moment, so the answer is yes, we are listening.
Yeah.
We are listening, right? And at the moment, we have 6 homes on site, 3 different floor plans.
Okay.
And
how are they different? What is different about them when you walk in?
They're similar square footage.
Yeah.
They're all 3-bed, 2-bath, right?
Mm-hmm.
One has a half porch on the front,
okay.
which is great. The other has a full porch that runs the full width of the home on front.
Yep.
And the other is the Aspire model, does not have a porch, but has more square footage interior, obviously. All 3 are very different from one another. Hmm. And we had a first informal open house. Again, we are full on construction this past weekend. Hmm. And the feedback we are absorbing, we're listening to, and the Aspire model with no porch was a home run.
Oh, yeah, they like that better than the ones with the porches?
I think it's more to do with the open concept and some of the finishes in that home than anything else, and the more square footage and open feel.
Mm-hmm.
So we are considering adjusting our order.
That's interesting.
For going forward based on that feedback.
And are there different costs to these different floor plans as well, or are they all roughly the same?
Our pricing ranges from $189.9 to $204.9.
So they are different.
They are different.
Yeah.
Yep, based on primarily square footage.
Yeah. Within a range, though. So basically, you get
inside.
You may get a preference depending on, as we talked about the numbers before, there's a good demand for this. So, you know, hopefully you get the floor plan you'd like, but I don't know if that'll still be there by the time this is all said and done, right? I mean, I guess that's exciting for you folks.
Yes.
But certainly, you know, shows the kind of demand and the kind of need that there is in this community for housing. And for affordable housing.
And one of the big things we're seeing that our prospects like is that the primary bedroom is on one end and the second and third bedroom are on the other end.
Okay.
So maybe for families or people that may have a roommate situation. I know there's a two
That's
sisters.
Very true. It's primary bedroom and primary bath sort of on one half.
Uh-huh.
So that creates that level of privacy.
Mm.
And so we received the feedback from Chris, who conducted the tours over the weekend, and we actually went to Titan, our manufacturer, and said, hey, we know we have this kind of, not set in stone, but a rough guide of what we're going to order next time. And where can we make changes to make it better for or what our customer wants?
Yeah.
And they are happy to work with us.
Have there been any price pressures with regards to manufacturing of the houses? I know that housing for a while and the construction costs have gone way up. And then, of course, there's the tariff problem and the sourcing of materials and things like that. Has any of that affected this project or has it been pretty stable?
It's been pretty stable. Hmm. I mean, we have been through COVID and compared to that time frame, we are much more confident in when we order it, it's going to come out.
It'll stay
the same price.
Right.
Right. But these are American construction, right? So they're basically just traveling down the highway.
Exactly.
It's all built in the USA.
Yes.
They're manufactured in Sangersfield, New
right
York.
Right outside Utica, New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
they're not coming too far.
Pretty close.
Yes.
Yeah. How about that? You're listening to a program here called Morning Drive, and the folks I've got on this morning are Val Whaling and Sarah Pirro. They're from Teton Management, and we're discussing construction and expansion of the Allendale Pines North Mobile Home Community project here on the program this morning. While we were talking about financing earlier, just before we came back on air, you were mentioning something about sales tax. And again, this might be getting into the weeds for people, but there are some differences, right, in terms of purchasing the single family house versus a mobile home or a manufactured home. And for a home that's previously been owned, and when it's sold or transferred, is there a sales tax involved with that?
So we call those resident-to-resident resales, so we're checking the background of the people buying it, and we're doing some checks. But after you purchase it from us, who is a dealer, you can sell it to a family member or anybody for no sales tax. So you would just set your purchase price and it sign over the title, and you can sell it.
So that seems like an advantage. Right, in a lot of ways. I mean, certainly do the homeowners they pay property tax on their homes?
The park is responsible.
That's included in the lot rent, which is huge.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a solid $550 a month includes delivery of water, sewer to your home. Mm. We take care of the community roads and mailbox station, et cetera, and property taxes are included in that lot rent.
But people would pay their water and sewer bills, though, right?
No,
that's part
included.
So these are things I didn't know. That's very interesting.
They're responsible for utilities, essentially, electric and heat, which is propane, which we're also trying to make sure is as efficient as possible for our homeowners. Mm. And if we're counting down, Sean, just add 10 seconds.
Go ahead.
This is a huge shout out to our whole team at Teton. Mm. None of this happens without our office team. And we have a huge, not huge, actually. We're strong and mighty, we say. And our operations team in the field, none of this would happen without them. We have community managers in all of our locations. Mm. We have a director of operations with tons of experience she brings to the table. And just ordering these homes and bringing them in, it takes a team for sure. And we love what we do at Teton.
Well, great shout out to your team, and much appreciated, I'm sure. And it's no small endeavor to build and put something like this together. It's obviously needed in the community, and I got to wish you the best of luck on the rest of it. If people want to get a hold of you or connect with you, find out when the next showing is or what the progress is on this, I'm sure some of it will be in the newspaper also, but how do they get a hold of you if they're looking for you?
If they want to watch from afar, I would say follow us on Facebook, because I've been trying to post pictures and give little updates, including videos. Our website is www.teton.management. And if you want to set up a tour, which we encourage you to, even if you're just remotely interested, we're happy to bring you in for a tour. You can call Chris at 413-770-6296.
All right. Val Whaling and Sarah Pirro, thank you so much for being here today. Great talking to you.
Thank you,
Sean.
Take care, everybody.